James chapter 2. I'll read from verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We saw last week, we got as far as verse 20, but we saw last week in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Here's a dialogue between someone who says, I believe it's only faith you need, and the believer who challenges him and says, show me your faith that isn't accompanied with any proofs, and I will demonstrate you my faith with proofs. That's the gist here. The word but means furthermore, or indeed, but more than this. The true believer can challenge the person whom you can call an antinomian. An antinomian is someone who says, it's only faith that counts, and all you do is to say, I believe. No, says the Bible, it's not enough to say, I believe. Because you can believe many things and still not be a true believer. The demons, in fact, are excellent theologians, but they're not believers. I mean, they're not saved. The devil himself, Satan, is the most expert theologian. He can run rings around us. He tried it on the Lord, didn't he? By misquoting scripture to him. So we find it's not enough. If you really believe, then it will follow that your faith will be accompanied by evidence. He says here in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son at the altar? His faith was vindicated by his actions. It's not that he was saved by what he did. He was already a child of God. He was already a believer. But he also demonstrated what a true believer is like. He was already justified, but now his faith in turn is justified. You could say that when Abraham offered up his son Isaac on the altar, he vindicated God's faith in him by his obedience. You and I, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, be wise and make my heart glad. The book of Proverbs tells us that if we say that we believe in God, then our lives should show it. And that's what Abraham did. His faith in God was vindicated, God's faith in him was also vindicated. God was able to turn round and say to all those angels, "You see my friend? You see what my friend will do for me?" He demonstrates he believes. That's what he said about Job to Satan. "Have you considered my servant Job? A perfect and an upright man, one that fears God, and two, he shuns evil." The two always go together. That's why Peter, he says, when he got to Cornelius' home, he said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Now, someone asked me about that at the conference in Calgary. Whatever does he mean? In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. They asked me, does that mean that we are saved by what we do? No, the order is first fear him and then work righteousness. The works follow the faith. To fear God is to believe in him, to trust him, and then inevitably to obey him. See the order. Whoever fears him, that's the one who truly believes in him, and then following that, and works righteousness. Working righteousness in the sight of God, the Lord Yeshua said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent." It's not absolution, it's approbation that we have here in verse 21. Abraham, our father, was justified by works. Let me pause and digress. Abraham, our father. Whose father is Abraham? We find in the book of Romans that when he was proclaimed righteous, he had not yet been circumcised. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. And we find that there the Holy Spirit lays down for us, Abraham is the father of every believer, not just of the Jewish nation. That's why John, the immerser, Yohanan HaMatbil, he said, "Don't boast that Abraham is your father. God can raise up children from these stones to be children of Abraham." Chapter 4, I'll have to read from verse 5. Romans 4 from verse 5. "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." And then verse 9. "Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised." At the end of Romans 2 we read, "He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, nor is that circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." Abraham, our father. He's the father of all who believe. And when you think about it, when we go back to the call of Abraham in Genesis 12, there is one major reason why God called him at all, that he might be the channel of blessing to the world. God had the world, God had all the nations of the world in view when he called Abraham out. Look how he puts it in Genesis chapter 12. And this is what Lionel was emphasizing and underlining. We, as Jewish people, have no right to exist unless we are measuring up to this mandate of Abraham. That's what it amounts to. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. It's not a promise, it's a command. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Every true child of Abraham must recognize the responsibility here, that we were sent, we were appointed to be God's channel of blessing to the world. And that if we are not fulfilling that, we have defaulted on our commission. We are bad Jews. Abraham is our father. He's the father of all those who believe. He offered Isaac, we read. And we're back at James chapter 2, verse 21. He offered Isaac, his son, on the altar. As far as God was concerned, the deed was as good as done. David wanted to build a temple for the Lord his God. God said to him, you did well that it was in your heart. However, it would be your son who builds the temple. Sometimes you and I want to do something for God, but we cannot. And I remember reading the story of a heathen king who suffered a very serious wound, and I think a missile or a stone or something had lodged inside his brain. And his physician said, your majesty, you must not get excited. You must keep calm. Move slowly. Because if you make a violent move, that stone is going to impact your brain and it's going to kill you. The story goes on that this king one day, being very bored, asked his wise men what was happening in other parts of the world. One of the wise men told him about a man called Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was sent from God, and how he went about doing good, but at last he was betrayed, and without any reason for condemning him, they scourged him and nailed him to the cross. At this point, the king drew his sword and he said, I wish I was there too. And the stone moved and he fell down dead. He was prepared, even as a heathen, to defend this noble person that he heard about, Jesus of Nazareth, from the country called Palestine. So a heathen died for Christ. Well, that's a story. I don't know how true it is. Remember reading it many years ago. You see here, his intention was to stand by the side of this noble Son of God. And God looks at us too. He sees there are many things we would love to do for him, but we cannot. To him, it is as good as done. He accounts it as though you had done it. He reads your heart and he blesses you as though you had done it. That's what he said to David. You did well that it was in your heart. He offered Isaac his son on the altar. In other words, Isaac was wholly given to God even before he picked up the knife. The intention was that he was going to go through with it, whatever it cost him. That's why we read here, he offered Isaac. He didn't literally kill Isaac, but he had already determined to do it as God commanded him. It was only God who stopped him. Verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? It was because Abraham believed God that he obeyed God. That is the order that we have here. He believed God, he trusted God, and as the book of Hebrews puts it, he accounted in himself that God would have to raise Isaac from the dead, because God had promised that through Isaac all his promises would be fulfilled. So the evidence of true faith and sincerity of faith is what follows. The Lord Yeshua said, when the tree is good, its fruit is good. The tree is faith. The fruit is obedience, obedient acts. Acts of obedience. That's what is meant by making the tree good and its fruit good. Faith showed its reality by its actions. Here are two other scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we read, just a couple of pages back, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Abel was already a man of faith, and he demonstrated that he was a man of faith by offering a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And God says, that proves that he is a righteous man, because righteousness, that the righteousness God is looking for, is a faith righteousness, not a works righteousness. Another scripture is in the first letter of John, chapter 2. First letter of John, chapter 2, verse 29. First John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, that is, if you know that Messiah is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. They're not born of him because they practice righteousness. It's the other way around. Because they are born of him, they demonstrate it. And that's how we can check up on people. That's what John is saying here. That's how you can check up on people who say, I believe in Yeshua the Messiah. All right, where is your holy life? Are you leading a holy life? Are you aspiring to holiness? Or do you sneer at it as something that's for those people who seclude themselves and walk around in black with a long face? That's how people talk about holiness. They sneer at it as something that is just sanctimoniousness, a put on. No, it isn't. Holiness is seeking to be like Messiah, allowing God to make us like him. That is holiness. It means living a life that is pleasing to God. Holiness without which no man shall see God. We read at the end of this 22nd verse, by works faith was made perfect. To be made perfect here means perfected or fulfilled. It has come to maturity. Faith doesn't come to us full blown. It may come as a grain of mustard seed, but it grows into a tree. Faith grows when you follow that man, that giant of faith, whom nobody can excel, Abraham, I don't believe there's anybody at any time in history that has exceeded the faith of Abraham. They may have matched it. I don't believe there's anybody that has exceeded it. But it didn't start that way. He had to grow. He had to learn to trust God. He slipped when he said, Sarah is my sister. He slipped. He was through fear. His faith was not yet full blown, but it was there. A child has all its faculties. It's got all its members. It's got everything in place. A normal child. But that child grows to maturity and its faculties develop. So it is with faith. Faith grows, faith obeys. Here is an example from Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 26 to 30. I think I've quoted this before, but we'll go back to it and look at it again. Ezekiel chapter 18, from verse 26. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed, and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive, because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair, and your ways which are not fair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. That one in verse 26, the righteous man, is the one that has a human righteousness. It is not something that it's not the faith righteousness. His heart has not been changed. And so he goes back to iniquity. He trusts, he turns away from his righteousness. On the other hand, the wicked man who turns away from his wickedness is showing that he is truly repentant, because he leaves all his sins behind. This one who's called a righteous man here is the one who's outwardly righteous, who has not left his sins behind. So there's a false repentance there, and there's a true repentance. Repentance unto death and the repentance unto life. Faith is made perfect. Faith is meant to grow. You and I are meant to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. We're meant to develop. We should take stock of ourselves from time to time. Have I made progress? Am I getting there? Sometimes we need to ask somebody else, because we're too close to the picture to be able to tell. But we should be able to say, things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest, like the hymn puts it. And so we read, coming back to James 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. In keeping with the previous verse, the full meaning is being brought out of a past statement. Abraham, at the very beginning, God promised him that he would give him that land where he was sojourning, that his seed, his descendants, would be like the stars of the sky for multitude, like the sand that is on the seashore, innumerable. We read in Genesis 15, verse 6, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was decades later that he offered up Isaac, and then the scripture was vindicated by Abraham's mature faith when he offered up Isaac on the altar. Fulfilled. The scripture was fulfilled. This is how the Lord Yeshua puts it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. To be fulfilled is to bring to its full meaning, to bring out all the implications of a certain statement in Scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. To fulfill means to bring out the full meaning, to bring out all that they imply, not to discard. That's what we read here too, in James chapter 2. The scripture was fulfilled. God accounted Abram righteous for his faith. His faith still needed to grow some. It was decades before he was ready for that supreme trial. But when the time came, his faith was equal to the occasion. And so the scripture was once again vindicated. And God says, what I proclaimed about Abraham was true then. It is much more true now. It is true, but it is much more true. It has been demonstrated to be true. The scripture was fulfilled. We read that it was accounted to him for righteousness. In Psalm 106, verse 30 and 31, Phinehas was like that too. He obtained righteousness because he believed in God, and therefore he took that step of obedience. People say, does the scripture sanction violence? Perhaps because of this. Verse 30. Well, I'll read from verse 28 to make sense. Psalm 106, verse 28. They, that is Israel, joined themselves also to Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. Was Phinehas really taking the law into his hands when he took a javelin and executed that prince of Israel who had taken a Midianite paramour? No, God had already issued the command. Execute all those that have committed idolatry, all the leaders of the people that have committed idolatry. And while the people were weeping before God, this man flaunts his latest woman before them all. Phinehas couldn't stand it anymore. He picked up a javelin and went after them into the tent and ran them through with the javelin. And we read that it was his obedience to God's command that led him, his faith led to his act of obedience, and that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. He obeyed God because he believed in God. And we read about Abraham here in James 2 verse 23. He was called the friend of God. To be called in Scripture means really to be. He was truly the friend of God. God delights in calling him Abraham, my friend. There's someone else that calls you and me his friends. John chapter 15, verse 14 and 15. Yeshua says, you are my friends. There is a condition though. John 15, verse 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. See the condition. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Do you wish to be a true child of Abraham? It means to believe like Abraham. It means to obey like Abraham. Yeshua says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. True faith is vindicated not by words. Talk is cheap. True faith is vindicated by works. We have that in Romans chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit points out that there are people who are not favored with the word of God, like you and I are. However, he has a promise here for them. Romans 2 verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. God imprints his moral law in the conscience and in the heart of all humans. There are many, most of them, who, according to Romans 1, suppress that truth. Keep it under, ignore it, try and blot it out. But there are others who admit that little voice speaking to them, and they say, I've got to listen to that voice. This is the rule of my life. This is not right that I'm doing and saying. I must not do it. So we find that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. And people who don't even have the Bible show that they are responding to the voice of God in their conscience. And God is going to take that into account in the day of judgment. We will find many of those people in heaven. That's what the Bible says. It's those who listen to the voice of God through their conscience. You see then, says the verse 24, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. The faith and obedience go together. Justification, we obtain justification, we are justified when we trust in Messiah. But Messiah is not only made to us wisdom and righteousness, he is also made unto us sanctification and redemption. And therefore justification, which means you and I are accounted righteous before God for believing in Messiah, that he died for us, must necessarily be followed by sanctification, which means an endeavor to live a life that is pleasing to God. And unless that follows, we have every right to question the validity of that person's claim to be a believer. Many people say, I believe. What's your life like? What's your thought life like? What are your words like? Remember at the end of chapter 1 of James, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. The difference is between bare assent and true saving faith. The next example given to us is Rahab. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? She believed that God was the true God. She believed that he was going to enable his people to enter the promised land and conquer it. And in believing, she acted a princess in Israel and an ancestress of the Messiah. What a glorious thing faith is, how it transforms the life. But we are entitled to look for evidence of a transformed life. If it isn't there, my friend, you are fooling yourself.